Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we have all actually switched our phones off now, have we? That would be nice. Okay, so today we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text 27. Should we do it responsively, actually? Do you normally do that? You do. Okay, so those of you at least who have books with you, or if you have it on your phones, which you've just switched off anyway. One way or the other. Let's try and do this responsively. Icha dvesha samutena.
Icha dvesha samutena.
Dvandva mohena bharata.
Dvandva mohena bharata.
Sarva bhutani samoham.
Sarva bhutani
Sargayanti parantapa.
Sargayanti parantapa.
Icha.
Icha.
Desire.
Desire.
Dvesha.
Dvesha.
And hate.
And hate.
Samutena.
Samutena.
Arisen from.
Arisen from.
Dvandva.
Dvandva.
Of duality.
Of duality.
Mohena.
Mohena.
By the illusion.
By the illusion.
Bharata.
Bharata.
O scion of Bharata.
O scion of Bharata.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
Living entities.
Living entities.
Samoham.
Samoham.
Into delusion.
Into delusion.
Sarge.
Sarge.
While taking birth.
While taking birth.
Yanti.
Yanti.
Go.
Go.
Parantapa.
Parantapa.
O conqueror of enemies.
O conqueror of enemies.
Translation, O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Let us repeat that responsively. Just repeat after me. O scion of Bharata,
O scion of Bharata,
O conqueror of the foe,
O conqueror of the foe,
all living entities are born into delusion.
All living entities are born into delusion.
Bewildered by dualities.
Bewildered by dualities.
Arisen from desire and hate.
Arisen from desire and hate.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me just read the verse again. Ichadvesha sumutena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa. O Sayanabharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Navane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshishunyavani Bastityadeshitane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakam Charubhyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So I hope everyone is well. Are you all well?
Yes.
Enough? Okay, hope so. Hope everyone is happy in Krishna consciousness on the spiritual platform. Is everyone happy in Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
Very good. Very nice. Tongat is one of my favorite places. I came here first for the famous Rath Yatra in 1980, 35 years ago actually. And we used to have tent campaigns here, didn't we?
Yes.
Even up till recently.
Ten
was it last year?
Yes.
Was the last one, right. Okay, anyway, so here we have, it's a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita. You could say, Krishna is expressing himself very strongly here, not mincing his words, not playing around, but just giving it to us straight. So, but it's a very important point, what Krishna is saying here. Everyone's born, at least within this world, worldly-minded people, they're all born into delusion, and that delusion is, you know, there are many different aspects to it. All sorts of different aspects to it. But the particular one that Krishna's focusing on here and really emphasizing is duality. In this material world, people are sort of governed by dualities. Their lives are very much controlled by different dualities and how they deal with them and how they feel about them and how they try to live in terms of dualities. Prabhupada mentioned a few here, let's just repeat them. Good and bad. Good and bad. Pleasure and pain. Honor and dishonor. misery and happiness, woman and man, and so on, etc. And there are many etc.'s too. There's just lots of them. But, you know, even though people are very much dominated by these dualities, but these dualities are very relative. By that I mean, they're very relative to you and your particular situation and everyone's situation. Everyone has their own situation. And then there's sort of like general situations, like the human beings. The human beings. Or, on the other hand, the animals. So the different individuals or different groups will in many ways have different dualities which influence them very, very strongly, but may not affect others, because they're only dualities in terms of you and your situation. So just, I can tell you a little story. You may have read it. It appeared in our Back to Godhead magazine some years ago, quite some years ago. The story originates in China. So there was a wise man, and he had a son, and he had a horse, and he had some foolish friends. These are the characters in this little story. So the wise man was there with his son. They had a horse. One day the horse ran away, and the foolish friends came and they said, "Oh, your horse ran away? Oh, that's very bad." And the wise man, you know what the wise man said? The wise man said, "It may be bad, it may be good. It depends," you see. So now, the next day, the horse came back of his own accord. And the horse brought a friend, another horse. So now there are two horses. And the foolish friends, I think you can imagine what they said. They said, "Oh, that's very good." Of course, if the horse had not run away and found his friend and brought the friend back, they would not have had two horses. But now they have. So yesterday it was bad that the horse ran away, but today it's now good. You see, it's a duality. It's very relative. It's not that the horse running away was simply bad. It wasn't. It depends. So, okay. Then the following day, the son decided to train or tame the new horse. It was like a wild horse. So he jumped on the back of the horse. And the horse, wild horse, went wild and started jumping and running and spinning, because he didn't like this. He'd never experienced it before, a human being sitting on his back. And the son got thrown off the horse and he broke his leg. And the foolish friends came around and they saw, there's the son with a broken leg now. And you know what they said, don't you? "Oh, that's very bad." The next day, devotees, and the wise man said, "It may be bad, it may be good." The day before, when the horses came, he said, "It may be good, it may be bad." Now today, broken leg, It may be bad. It may be good. The next day, the king declared war on some neighboring country and sent all his men around to gather all the young men up to fight in the war and, you know, quite possibly be killed. So they came in and they to the wise man's house, the soldiers, and they saw there is his son just lying on the bed because his leg is broken, but they didn't know that. They thought, aha, some lazy young boy. Let's just take him and put him on the front lines to fight. So they wanted to take him, but then they saw, oh, he's got a broken leg. He can't do anything. So they left him and they went to the next house. And the foolish friends came and they said, oh, that's good. And the wise man said, it may be good, it may be bad. You know, the day before he broke his leg, it was bad. Today, now, his broken leg is good. So you see, this is a world of dualities. In one sense, it's not exactly a world of dualities. It's just the world, the material world. But dualities exist because of us and how things relate to us and how we relate to other things. You get the idea? Yes. So, and people are dominated by these dualities. They just get so caught up. They get so caught up. So, Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, means, among other things, that we go above these dualities and we don't really be affected by them so much or ultimately at all. Yes, this is spiritual life, because these dualities and just the conditions of material existence, they only exist on the material level. Like, here's a duality, birth and death. But we, as eternal spiritual persons, when you come to the spiritual platform, there's no birth, there's no death. These things are irrelevant, meaningless, completely. Something like a duality like hunger and being full. This is a duality. On the spiritual platform, the spirit soul, the eternal spiritual person, does not need to eat. Eternally existing, independent of things like that. So hungry, not hungry, whatever, it has no meaning. It's irrelevant to a person who's really spiritually advanced. Let me give you another example. This is a good one. Listen to this one. You know, nowadays, say maybe over the last 15, 20 years, something, vegetarianism has increased. It really has increased dramatically, at least in many parts of the world. Say in the Western world, America, Europe, and Australia, the Western countries, vegetarianism has increased tremendously. And I don't know exactly the figures, but I don't know if anyone knows, but from what I hear, it's at least 5%, maybe even 10% of the population of a place like the United States. They're vegetarian. for whatever reason. So now, being vegetarian is good in many ways. It's good for your health. It's good for your health. It's good for the environment. Generally, being vegetarian is cheaper, so it's good for your finances. Yeah, in different ways, it's good. But it is really good. It is extremely good for who? The animals. Yes. If the whole world became vegetarian, the animals would celebrate, wouldn't they? I mean, it would be a big day. So it would be extremely good for the animals if everyone became vegetarian. Because animals, let's face it, devotees, at least the sort of semi-domesticated animals, not the dogs and cats who are fully domesticated, but the sheep, the cows, the chickens, the goats, you know, these creatures who are semi-domesticated. Generally, every single one of them lives in captivity. How would you like it if you lived in captivity? Particularly if the whole idea of the captivity was to prepare you in certain ways, your body, so you became nice and fat. As we say in Chatsworth, healthy. And so that you could be killed and eaten. Hare Krishna. It's not so nice, is it? For the animals. It's really not so nice. And essentially every single sheep and cow and chicken living on this planet, practically everyone, if not actually everyone, is living under these conditions. So anyway, if everyone became vegetarian, it'd be very good for the animals. But devotees, think about it. It would be extremely bad for a certain group. Which group would it be extremely bad for? And I don't mean the cattle ranchers or the people who own the slaughterhouses. If everyone became vegetarian, it would be very bad for the vegetables. It would be a disaster for the vegetables. It would be wholesale slaughter for the vegetables. You get the idea? This is duality. This is duality. It's good for some, it's bad for others. It's duality. And if you think about material existence, like, you know, people who like spicy food, it's good for, well, it's good for Indian people generally. But many, many groups of people, they don't like it at all. They can't stand it. Hot weather, like living in India, it's pretty hot. Or I just came from Doha and Dubai. I was there on Friday. And it was not a bad day. It was, things are cooling down. It was only 36. Yeah. And they were saying, not bad, not bad. It had been 50 some weeks before. So some people like hot weather. Some people like cold weather. And they don't like hot weather. And this is all duality. Different types of dualities. So spiritual life means Krishna consciousness, means that through spiritual cultivation, we purify the consciousness from its tendency to identify in these terms and think in these ways and just, you know, try to arrange their lives in such ways to maximize what they call good and to minimize what they call bad. Yeah. Just dealing with the dualities in different ways. Spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, means that through spiritual cultivation, particularly chanting mantra, particularly the Hare Krishna mantra for that matter, Maha mantra, through that spiritual cultivation, practical activity in Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, then those tendencies, which in ordinary people, they're just automatic, they're just programmed like that to think in terms of dualities and how to get the good part of the duality and avoid the bad part of the duality. But that tendency becomes cleansed away. It's very interesting. Krishna consciousness is a practical spiritual process. It's not just a belief system. In certain circles, religions or spiritual processes are referred to as belief systems. You believe this, he believes that. You have a certain belief system, he has a different one, and such is life. And but Krishna consciousness is not just a belief system, but it's a practical process for personal development, actually. And as we apply ourselves, to the process, the different practices of Krishna consciousness, if we do it seriously, then we notice, just objectively, we see that we're actually changing our perspectives, attitudes, things are changing. It's practical. It's not just a matter of belief. The Bhagavatam gives an example. It's a very good example. I don't know if you've read it. It's in the 11th canto that for a person who's practicing Krishna consciousness, or any real spiritual process, then certain things happen in their lives. One is their distresses reduce or just go away. Two is they feel satisfied, and three is they feel blissful in practical terms. So now the example given is just like a hungry person who eats, a very hungry person. Did you all fast yesterday? Well done. But that was only till midday. That's easy. That's kid stuff. What about on Janmashtami? Did you fast till midnight?
Yes.
Well done. That's more serious. All right. So, anyway, if a person gets really hungry, really, really, seriously hungry, And then they get to eat some nice food. Well, the first thing is their hunger goes away. Well, their hunger goes away. It tastes good. And then gradually, as they continue on, they feel strength. And it's not a question of belief. Do you believe that the prasadam tastes nice? It's not a belief. It's just an objective reality. It's simple. It's so simple. Even a child knows. Yeah. Do you believe you're not feeling hungry? I'm not sure. I'll have to check. No. It's not a question of belief. And do you feel that you're becoming nourished? You're getting energy and you're becoming more able to do things? Do you believe it? It's not a question of belief. It's just not. It's not a question of belief. Neither do you need someone to tell you you're not feeling hungry any longer. Oh, really? Oh, that's good. This, what you eat, it tastes good. Oh, does it? Oh, that's nice. I'm glad to hear that. You don't need someone to tell you. It's just such a simple, straightforward thing. So real spiritual life, Krishna consciousness is like that. If you do it nicely. If you don't do it nicely, then like anything else, like just anything else, if you don't do it nicely, don't expect to get much of a result. Just don't bother hoping, because you'll be dreaming. It's just obvious. You want to drive your car on the right side of the road. Why not? Why just be a conformist? you don't want to be controlled by the government all the time. So drive on the right side. Unfortunately, the right side is the wrong side. And the left side is the right side. So if you do something nicely, you know, basically more or less anything within reason, if you do it nicely, you can get a good result. If you don't do it nicely, then you won't get a good result. And that's just obvious. It's not some sort of rocket science. It's not only for the highly intelligent that they'll be able to figure that out. So yeah, so this is the point. What Krishna is saying here, what Prabhupada was explaining in the purport, we can go beyond these things. We can go beyond these things, and it's good to go beyond these things, because these things create so much trouble. Prabhupada gave another example. This is an interesting one for South Africans. Prabhupada was talking about South Africa. Back in those days, that was the 70s, and apartheid was fully in place. So Prabhupada was talking about a white man. The white man is thinking the black man is bad, and the white people are good. But the black people are bad. And he's thinking about it. Whenever he sees them, he thinks, ah, there they are, the bad people. But Prabhupada then made the point that because he's so much focused like that, in his next life, what will happen? Take a guess. he'll be born as a black man because he was so absorbed in thinking like that. Talk about a duality. Yeah. So it's good to get out of dualities. And a devotee can. Devotee becomes free from the anxieties which dualities produce. A devotee becomes free. And one of the reasons, there are a number of reasons, one is just through purifying his or her existence, purifying their consciousness, and just becoming free from those types of interests and conceptions. Another aspect of the situation is that Krishna looks after his devotees. Yes. So a devotee, even if a devotee finds himself or herself in a situation which would typically be thought of as being bad, but for the devotee, because Krishna's in control and Krishna's helping the devotee, that bad situation, it may or will not be bad. It may actually even be good. But it will not be bad. And the devotee will be able to remain Krishna conscious throughout and be happy on the spiritual situation by the grace of the Lord and by dint of his or her progress and be unaffected by the material circumstances. Let me close by giving you a very interesting example from my own experience. Listen to this, devotees. You know, I joined our movement in London, January the 7th, 1973. I moved into the temple in London, central London. And we would go out. One of the main things we did every day, we went out on the streets of central London distributing Srila Prabhupada's books to the people on the streets, the main street of London, Oxford Street. We were there every day. And the police, you know, we don't, anyway, the police, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. So would you believe they would arrest us? And I got arrested for distributing our books on the street. Isn't that terrible? I actually got arrested many times. I just can't remember how many dozens of times, but really a lot. And then, you know, then they let us go. We'd have to come back to court the next day and generally pay a £5 fine. So, but anyway, one time, listen to this. I got arrested on a Friday afternoon. And it's a long story, but they thought I might run away to avoid paying a £5 fine. So they kept me for the whole weekend in the jail, yes, till Monday morning. So there I was. And that day, the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam had just arrived in London, the first printing from America. And the devotees, when they found out, they brought me a copy of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And for the whole weekend, that's what I did. I just read the whole sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end. And it was fantastic. And normally, you know, normally in the temple, I was very busy. I was what is called the temple commander. You have to run it around it, sort of like the foreman. Engage everyone, get people to do things. Like, there are like 60 devotees there. It was busy, busy, busy. And I didn't have much time to read at all. But here, I read the whole weekend. And there was no one to bother me. And they brought me Mahaprasadam a couple of times a day. Life was good. In a certain sense. And then I had to appear in court on Monday. They fined me £5 and let me go. And I thought, sure, maybe I should get arrested again. So it's a, you know, it's a sort of situation full of dualities, isn't it? Normally, if a person gets arrested, that's really bad. And they're held over the weekend. My God, that's terrible. But because of Krishna consciousness, it was good. Not bad. Spiritually good. Yeah. I have many stories about adventures in London. Okay, so there you go. Let us try to be serious about our practice of Krishna consciousness. It really makes a difference. You know, like so many things, what you get out of it is definitely related to what you put into it, of course, obviously. And Krishna's merciful too. But generally, Krishna says, yayatama prapadyante, tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So let's try and take it seriously and chant our rounds, follow the principles. If you're not initiated, then try to see how you could progress and come to that point. Because it helps. It really helps a lot. It's very valuable. Yeah, so like that, we should try to be progressive. Try to be progressive about our spiritual life and not just get kind of stuck in some sort of minor comfort zone. It won't be like some big comfort zone, just some minor comfort zone, and think, well, that's okay, I'm kind of Krishna conscious. You know, let me just stay here. But try and develop our spiritual lives and progress. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. And what's next? Guru Puja.
Yes,
and then Prasadam. Okay. Are you ready? Let's everyone stand up for Guru Puja.